13. The title of the message is "To You It Is Given." To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to know the gospel, to know God in Christ. To you it's given. Now there were many who were following Christ. At that time, he had gotten some attention. And multitudes, it says, followed him. Some to hear him, some to see the miracles. They were impressed with the miracles that he was able to do. Some because they were fed with fishes and loaves. You know, the Lord fed 5,000. Many reasons why many followed him, but most of the ones who followed him at that time didn't believe. They didn't believe. Because when he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And it says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear this?" You know, they followed him for a while until they heard the message. And then when they heard what he was saying, they said, "We didn't sign up for this." And they left. They walked no more with him. And so here in this chapter, the Lord leaves the house. Now this is the same day, back in chapter 12, we looked at him cast out a man possessed with a devil, and the Pharisees came and they challenged him. This is the same day. Our Lord worked tirelessly in redeeming sinners. He worked tirelessly. And because of this, crowd that had gathered, he left that place and went to the seaside on the shore there, and he got into a ship where he can get away from the people, and they wouldn't throng on him, and he could actually speak to the multitude. And when he spoke to them, in parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly truth. It's conveying a heavenly truth. And he speaks to them about a farmer who goes out and he sows his field. He takes seed out and he sows the field. It's a simple story, yet it has profound truth. Profound truth in it. But it's just a simple story. But that's the way our Lord... Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's the God of heaven and earth. He is infinite in wisdom. He is infinite in knowledge. There's nothing he doesn't know. And when he comes into this world and he speaks to us, he doesn't speak to us in these great theological terms. He takes just a simple earthly story and conveys a profound truth with it. And he's going to tell the story there of the sower. You see there in verse 3, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some of those seeds fell by the wayside," as they do, you know, when you're out there sowing. "And the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, choked them." He uses this story here. Some fell on good ground that brought forth 100-fold, 60-fold. And the disciples were puzzled. They were puzzled. Why are you speaking to them in parable? Here is an opportunity to clear up a lot of things. There's a great multitude standing here, and here's an opportunity to reveal yourself, to make yourself known. But he gives this answer in verse 11. And this ought to be very humbling to everyone here who believes the gospel. "To you it is given." It's given. To them, he said, it's not given. It's not given. The answer is that simple. What is given? What's he talking about here? He said, it's given to you to know savingly the mystery of the gospel. It's given to you to know spiritual truth. You know, spiritual truth is a mystery. God is a mystery. Christ is a mystery. How God can save me and be a just God, how God can save a wretch like me and still be God is a mystery. Until he makes it known through the preaching of the gospel by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual truth is a mystery to lost men and women. They cannot understand how, first of all, they don't care how God can be just. I was thinking this morning. I was looking at this and I was thinking, they don't understand how God can be a just God and a Savior. They don't care how God can be a just God and a Savior. As long as I don't go to hell, it doesn't matter how it happens. As long as I don't have to go there. That's the attitude of lost. They don't care that God be God. Do you want God to be a just God? I do. You want God to be a just God. An unjust God you can't trust. You can have no confidence, no trust in an unjust God, in an unjust judge. But a just God will do right. Abraham said the judge of the earth will do right. He'll do right. You understand the mysteries of the gospel. You understand the new birth, don't you? Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man that studied the scriptures for years and years. He was a scholar. And when the Lord spoke to him of being born again, he said, how can this be? Am I going to go back in my mother's womb and be born a second time? But you understand it. You understand how that God say, you understand that the Holy Spirit creates within you a new nature. That's born of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. You understand that God is not renovating the old man. He created a new man in you. That's born of God. You understand that? Because to you, it is given. It is given. It is written in 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It's hid to them that are lost. But to you who believe, it's given to you to know. It's to know God. God is not like I used to think he was. I tell you what, God is who he is. God is who he is. And it's given to you to know the God that is. It's given to you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is God, who is God manifested in the flesh. You know who Jesus Christ is. And you know the way of salvation. You know that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. It's given to you by grace. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's given to you by revelation. That's how you know. That's how you know. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Of heaven. You know who God is. You know God's a mystery until he reveals himself. He is. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Who by searching can find out God? No one. Unless he reveals himself, you can't know him. He has to reveal himself. How can God be a just God and a Savior? You know how. You know how through the substitutionary work and person of Jesus Christ, God can be a just God and save a wretch like me and you. You know that. He's a mystery to lost men and women, but he's not a mystery to those to whom it is given. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's not a mystery to you no more. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, listen, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. It sounds like foolishness. Salvation by Christ alone, by grace alone, through the substitutionary work of another man in my place, taking my place, dying in my place, me not having to do anything for righteousness but receive one. That sounds like foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, you know these things. You judge all things. You understand these things, don't you? You understand. You know how God can be a just God and a Savior. I'm not saying that we know all there is to know of God. We will always be learning of who God is. Always. God is infinite. He cannot be exhausted. But we do know him. We do know him. It says in 1 John 5:20, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. That is the one who's given you an understanding. That's why you have an understanding of the gospel. God's given it to you. He's given it to you. Though, and those who have been given light, in verse 12, shall receive more of it. More light. More grace. More understanding. Walk in the light that you have and God will give you more light. That's what the scripture says. This is the good ground that bears more fruit. A mere profession will only lose in the end. That which a person seems to have, he said, will be taken away. It'll be taken away. And the Lord said in verse 13, this is why I speak to them in parables. They profess to see and they see not. He says they have closed their own eyes. You know, notice he says there, they closed their own eyes. It's like my grandson one time when he was just a little fellow. He was sick and was trying to give him some medicine. And he kept his mouth shut. He would not open his mouth. It's like, you got to take this medicine, son. And he's just like, mm-mm. I'm not doing it. And that's their condition. They said, we see, we understand, we know who God is. No, you don't. We know the way of salvation. No, you don't. No, you don't. They profess to see and see not. They profess to hear and they hear not. But our Lord says here in verse 14, he said, this is the fulfilling of the scripture in Isaiah. And it's Isaiah chapter 6. Is where it is. Yeah. But here's verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. If you see, if you hear, and you understand, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. This book, I tell you what, this book is a closed book until God opens it up. Until God opens up the scriptures to us. It's a closed book. It's a mysterious book. Until God opens it up. He's saying here that way back there when Isaiah was speaking and writing, he spoke of your all's blindness and your hardness and your deadness. He said, you people were prophesied of way back there in Isaiah. And they read the scriptures. They had Isaiah. They knew that what Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 meant. They knew it. And the Lord is applying that prophecy to that people. And they found that upsetting. If you'll notice here their condition, he says, this people, verse 15, for this people's heart is wax gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. You don't need to tell me this. I know it all. You can't tell a know-it-all anything. That was their attitude. They said this. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? What's he doing trying to teach us? This poor Nazarene, this one from Galilee, who is the carpenter's son? Who is he trying to teach us? And they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen. And they shut their eyes and their ears and they just had no interest in what was being said. They just want to see some miracles. That's what the Pharisees said. Show us a sign. Let me say this. God does not owe anyone salvation. This matter of Jesus wants to save you if you'll let him is a lie. You and I are in the hands of Jesus Christ. It is not what am I going to do with Jesus Christ. It is what is Jesus Christ going to do with me. Jesus Christ is God. God has put all flesh into his hands. He says in John 17, all power over all flesh has been given to me. It's not what you and I are going to do with him. What's he going to do with us? He's God. I'm not. He's the creator. I'm not. God did not create this world and then subject himself to it. Leaving it up to us. This is so foolish. This is so foolish. To even think like this, that God Almighty would put his son on the cross, put him through hell, put him through torment, put him to death, and then leave the end result to a bunch of God-hating rebels. You can't be serious. The dumbest man on this earth knows better than that. It's never been turned over to me and you. It's in the hands of Jesus Christ. God said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and whom I will I harden. What's he saying? He's saying this, I'm the sovereign, you're not. Christ is the Savior, not us. The end result is not in my hands. The end result is in the hands of Jesus Christ. It's in his hands. God does not owe any man salvation. That is why it is all of grace and not of merit. At no time is salvation of any merit on my part whatsoever. It's all of grace. It's God choosing me, calling me, revealing himself to me, bringing me to him. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. I was born and you were born with the same wretched nature that everybody in this world is born with. There's not an ounce difference between me and anybody out there in this world. Anyone. Not an ounce of difference. The only thing that makes a difference is the grace of God. That's the only difference. God can leave a person alone to harden in sin and rebellion, or he can show mercy. It's his, as Charles Spurgeon called it, his royal prerogative. We're all in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, what a blessing. And let's never let this blessing that we have here grow cold. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things you see, and they've not seen them. And you see them. You see, they had shadows and types and pictures, and you and I have the Word of God, and the Son of God has come, the Messiah has come, he's going back to glory. We have a clear picture. Now, we don't know it all, because Paul said we preach in part, we know in part. I know that. We're limited in our understanding, but we see a much more clear. We see much more clearly than what they were able to see, because we have the Word of God. I'm reading it to you. Listen, I'm not standing here this morning preaching to you in parables. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the living God. He's the Savior of sinners, and we are in the hands of Jesus Christ. They were looking for a Messiah to come. They were looking for a Messiah to come. Well, I know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. We know his name. We know who he is. We know he's God. We know who he is. As Paul said to the Galatians, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth. Clearly. The gospel has been preached here for years. Clearly. You understand who God is. You understand how God could be a just God and save you. You understand by whose righteousness you are saved. You understand by whose blood that your sins are washed away. You understand that. You know why you understand? Because it's given to you. To you, it is given. To them, he said, it's not given. That ought to be humbling, shouldn't it? That's humbling. To really know and understand the gospel and believe it and love it is a gift of God. The gift of God. All right.